4. Disarm and infuriate with the mirror effect. The mirror reflects reality, but it is also the perfect tool for deception. When you mirror your enemies doing exactly as they do, they cannot figure out your strategy. The mirror effect mocks and humiliates them, making them overreact. By holding up a mirror to their psyches, you seduce them with the illusion that you share their values. By holding up a mirror to their actions, you teach them a lesson. Few can resist the power of the mirror effect. Mirror effects, preliminary typology. Mirrors have the power to disturb us. Gazing at our reflection in the mirror, we most often see what we want to see, the image of ourselves with which we are most comfortable. We tend not to look too closely, ignoring the wrinkles and blemishes, but if we do look hard at the reflected image, we sometimes feel that we are seeing ourselves as others see us, as a person among other people, an object rather than a subject. That feeling makes us shudder. We see ourselves, but from the outside, minus the thoughts, spirit, and soul that fill our consciousness. We are a thing. In using mirror effects, we symbolically recreate this disturbing power by mirroring the actions of other people, mimicking their movements to unsettle and infuriate them. Made to feel mocked, clones, object-like, an image without a soul, they get angry. Or do the same thing slightly differently, and they might feel disarmed. You have perfectly reflected their wishes and desires. This is the narcissistic power of mirrors. In either case, the mirror effect unsettles your targets, whether angering or entrancing them, and in that instant you have the power to manipulate or seduce them. The effects contain great power because it operates on the most primitive emotions. There are 4 main mirror effects in the realm of power. The neutralizing effect. In ancient Greek mythology, the Gorgon Medusa had serpents for hair, protruding tongue, massive teeth, and a face so ugly that anyone who gazed at her was turned into stone. But the hero Perseus managed to slay Medusa by polishing his bronze shield into a mirror, then using the reflection in the mirror to guide him as he crept up and cut off her head without looking at her directly. If the shield in this instance was a mirror, the mirror also was kind of a shield. Medusa could not see Perseus. She only saw her own reflected actions, and behind this screen, the hero stole up and destroyed her. That anecdote right there pretty much sums up every lesson this law will contain. This is the essence of the neutralizing effect. Do what your enemies do, following their actions as best you can, and they cannot see what you are up to. They are blinded by your mirror. Their strategy for dealing with you depends on your reacting to them in a way characteristic of you. Neutralize it by playing a game of mimicry with them. The tactic has a mocking, even infuriating effect. Most of us remember the childhood experience of someone teasing us by repeating our words exactly. After a while, we wanted to punch them in the face. Working more subtly as an adult, you can still unsettle your opponents this way. Shielding your own strategy with the mirror, you lay invisible traps or push your opponents into the trap they planned for you. The narcissist effect. Gazing at an image in the waters of a pond, the Greek youth Narcissus fell in love with it, and when he found out that the image was his own reflection and that he therefore could not consummate his love, he despaired and drowned himself. All of us have a similar problem. Most of us are profoundly in love with ourselves. The narcissist effect plays on this universal narcissism. You look deep into the soul of others, fathom their innermost desires, their values, their tastes, their spirit, and you reflect it back to them, making yourself into a kind of mirror image. Your ability to reflect their psyche gives you great power over them. This is simply the ability to mimic another person, not physically, but psychologically. Now, normally, people bombard us with their experiences, their tastes. They hardly ever make the effort to see things through our eyes. This is what I discuss in How to Win Friends and Influence People, the animated book summary I'm doing. Now, not making that effort is annoying, but also creates a great opportunity. If you can show you understand another person by reflecting their innermost feelings, they will be entranced and disarmed all the more so because it happens so rarely. No one can resist this feeling by being harmoniously reflected in the outside world, even though you might well be manufacturing it for their benefit and for deceptive purposes of your own. And now, How to Win Friends and Influence People emphasizes doing it authentically and doing it with grace and positive intent. We're here in the 48 Laws of Power arguing a similar idea, except without the pretense of guilt of manufacturing something that may not be 100% real. notice the differences, especially if you're watching this side by side. The narcissist effect works wonders in both social life and business. It gives us both the seducer's and the courtier's mirror. The moral effect. The power of verbal argument is extremely limited and often accomplishes the opposite of what is intended. Go back and play that again because more people need to understand that. Verbal argument is extremely limited. As Gracian remarks, the truth is generally seen, rarely heard. Quite simply, you teach others a lesson by giving them a taste of their own medicine. In the moral effect, you mirror what other people have done to you and do so in a way that makes them realize you are doing to them exactly what they did to you. You make them feel that their behavior has been unpleasant, as opposed to hearing you complain and whine about it, which only gets their defenses up. And as they feel the result of their actions mirrored back at them, they realize in the profoundest sense how they hurt or punish others with their unsocial behavior. Now, while I believe this is true, I believe this is true only for a small portion. I believe mimicking behavior can be helpful, but only in those that are somewhat socially and empathetically intelligent, who actually have EQ or emotional intelligence. A lot of people will not realize that you're mimicking them, and they won't realize, therefore, that their actions are hurting you. You objectify the qualities you want them to feel ashamed of and to create a mirror in which they can gaze at their follies and learn a lesson about themselves. This technique is often used by educators, psychologists, and anyone who has to deal with unpleasant and unconscious behavior. The hallucinatory effect. The hallucinatory effect comes from creating a perfect copy of an object, a place, a person. This copy acts as a kind of a dummy. People take it for the real thing because it has a physical appearance of the real thing. This is a preeminent technique of con artists who strategically mimic the real world to deceive you. So if you can understand how you're going to be deceived by con artists manipulating the reality and world around you, then you can lessen the chance of it happening. The hallucinatory effect also has applications in any arena that requires camouflage. This is the deceiver's mirror. Now, as you can see, we're already well into this video and we haven't even gotten to any stories. Just so you guys know, Law 44 covers 7 observances of the law. I will not cover 7. I will only be covering 1. But before I do, I will read this anecdote. When I wish to find out how wise or how stupid or how good or how wicked is anyone, or what are his thoughts as the moment, I fashion the expression of my face as accurately as possible in accordance with the expression of his, and then wait to see what thoughts or sentiments arise in my mind or heart, as if to match or correspond with the expression. Edgar Allan Poe. Observance of the Law 2. There was this ambitious statesman, the general Alcibiades of Athens, and he fashioned this formidable weapon that became the source of his power. In every encounter with others, he would sense their moods, tastes, and then carefully tailor his words and actions to mirror their innermost desires. Basically, he played in the context he was within and tailored his actions accordingly, very carefully. He would seduce them with the idea that their values were superior to everyone else's, and that his goal was to model himself on them or help them realize their dreams. So obviously, few could resist a person with that type of charm. The first man to fall under his spell was actually Socrates. Now, for those who don't know, Socrates was a very modest man. He was a very simple man. He did not need much except his own mind. His clothing was simple, his food was simple, his house was simple. But Alcibiades was quite the opposite. He enjoyed to live lavishly. But when Alcibiades was around Socrates, he would mirror his behavior to be like him. This feeling intoxicated Socrates, who became Alcibiades' fervent admirer and supporter, one day even risking his own life to rescue this young man in battle. So you can obviously see the massive effect it had. The Athenians loved Alcibiades. His uncanny ability to tune into his audience's aspirations and mirror their desires made them infatuated with him. Alcibiades was made expedition commander in trying to conquer Sicily, but when he left, the Athenians fabricated charges against him, knowing that his enemies would have executed him if he returned back home to Athens. So at the last minute, he deserted the Athenian fleet and defected to Athens' enemy, Sparta. Now, Sparta welcomed this man with open arms, but they knew about his reputation and were wary and cautious of him. Now, Alcibiades loved luxury, as we said before, but the Spartans, as we know, were a warrior people who worshipped austerity, and they were afraid he would corrupt their youth. But to their surprise, Alcibiades did not behave the way they expected. He wore his hair untrimmed as they did, took cold baths, ate coarse bread and black broth and wore simple clothes. To the Spartans, this signified that Alcibiades had come to see their way of life as superior to the Athenians. But Alcibiades didn't know how to rein in his charm, and he actually got the king of Sparta's wife pregnant, and once this became public, he had to flee for his life. He then defected to Persia, where he suddenly went from Spartan simplicity to embracing the lavish Persian lifestyle that he knew all the well. Now, it was very flattering to the Persians to see a Greek of Alcibiades' stature prefer their culture over his own, and they showered him with honors, land, and power. Now, once seduced by this shield and mirror that Alcibiades put up, they did not realize that he was actually helping the Athenians win their war with Sparta by feeding information back to Athens. And with that, he was able to reintegrate himself to the city which he desperately wanted to return, which welcomed him with open arms. Interpretation. Now, when Alcibiades was young, he discovered this whole approach to power because he used to have a colorful, forceful personality where he argued his ideas strongly with a dogmatic approach. And while this would win a few people over, this would alienate him at the same time from another portion. Now, the secret to gaining ascendancy over large numbers, he came to believe, was not to impose his colors, but to absorb the colors of those around him. The secret to gaining ascendancy over large numbers, because many people want to do it, you know, it'd be great to have such and such numbers, subscribers on here, or likes on here, you know. People want this kind of fame, they want this notoriety, they want a large audience to have influence over. Now, he found the key to that success was to play within the context of his environment and his society, like a chameleon, basically playing to the zeitgeist of the time. Whatever ebbs and flows are current and relevant, he would insert himself into there. Now, I cannot do that. As much as I think I logically know how to, I don't think I could authentically play like that, even though it may get me tens of thousands more people watching my stuff, even though I might even start making money over it. But I can't do that. I have to be true to me. And for some people, you just have to be true to yourself. I think that rises it to the end. Understand, everyone is wrapped up in their own narcissistic shell. When you try to impose your own ego on them, a wall goes up. Resistance is increased. By mirroring them, however, you seduce them into a kind of narcissistic rapture. They are gazing at a double of their own soul. This double is actually manufactured in its entirety by you. Once you have used the mirror to seduce them, you have great power over them. But there are many dangers of this promiscuous use of the mirror. In Alcibiades' presence, people felt larger, as if their egos had been doubled. But once he left, they felt empty and diminished. And when they saw him mirroring completely different people, like they had mirrored them, they felt betrayed. Alcibiades overused the mirror effect, made whole peoples feel used, so that he constantly had to flee from one place to another. And while he was successful at each place, he became unsuccessful by the way he left. Indeed, Alcibiades angered the Spartans that they had finally murdered him. He had gone too far. The seducer's mirror must be used with caution and discrimination. So you can see this can be a transgression as well as an observance. Now, I said I was only going to do one observance. I'm actually going to do one more. I think this story is very relevant and applies to the communications between man and woman we see today. Observance of the Law 3. There was this daughter of a noble family named Marie Mancini. Now, she was one of five siblings, all girls, but she did not share the fortune of her sister's beauty and grace. Now, eventually, the family would begin to resent her and dislike her because they felt she spoiled their family image. She used this anger and resentment that they put on her to apply herself to her studies, learning many languages, practicing her musical skills, building herself into a skillful, intelligent human being. Most importantly, she trained herself to be an artful listener. When she finally met future King Louis XIV, when he was 17 years old, she decided to spite her family, and she would make this young man fall in love with her. Now, this was seemingly impossible for such a plain-looking girl, but Marie studied the future king closely. She noticed that her sister's frivolity did not please him, and she sensed that he loathed the scheming and petty politicking that went all around him. Basically, to bring this to real context, he loathed the fact that these girls played games around him, that they weren't direct and upfront. She saw that he had a romantic nature. Now, the court did not feed Louis' fantasies of his adventured mind, so there was an empty space ready to be filled by someone who was going to fill it, and that would be Marie. She would construct a mirror reflecting his fantasies and his youthful yearnings for glory and romance. She immersed herself in romantic novels, poems, and plays that she knew the young king read voraciously. So when Louis began to engage her in conversation, to his delight, she would talk of these things that he loved. She fed his thirst for glory by creating an image of a superior king whom he could aspire to become. As they spent more time together, it had been clear that the king had fallen in love with Marie, the least likely woman for that to happen in the court. Louis had showered her with attention, bringing her on military campaigns, and even promised to marry her and make her queen. But Louis eventually succumbed to the pressure of the families around him and broke off his first romantic involvement of his life. He did so with much regret, and at the end of his life, he acknowledged that he never loved anyone as much as Marie Mancini. And this was not an accident. Interpretation. Maria Mancini played the seducer's game to perfection. First, she took a step back to study her prey. Seduction often fails to get past the first step because it is too aggressive. Young men out there, you are too aggressive. The first move must always be to retreat. By studying the king from a distance, aka by studying any individual from a distance, before you approach them, before you talk to them, you can see what distinguishes them from others, as Marie did. Now, the mirror holds up several functions. One, it can satisfy the ego by giving you a double look, as it did for Louis. Now, when someone yearns for something so dearly, but their environment lacks it so much, if you can fill that void as Marie did, you will be all the more appreciated and loved for it. Play that shit again, because that was some profound shit right there. This is the power of the seducer's mirror. By doubling the taste and ideals of the target, it shows your attention to his or her psychology and attention more charming than any aggressive pursuit. Find out what sets the other person apart and hold up a mirror that will reflect it and bring it out of them. Feed their fantasies of power and greatness by reflecting their ideals and they will succumb. Now, on the other hand, if you want maybe to create a relationship, a strong, stable relationship with another individual, doesn't have to be a romantic one, well, maybe you don't have to feed a fantasy. Maybe you can observe your surroundings enough to find out the values, beliefs, likes of a specific person, a group of people, and figure out the person whose habits would most likely coincide with yours. So instead, you're not feeding a fantasy, but you're joining a jigsaw puzzle perfectly together in unison. So where Maria did not innately have these, you know, these likes, she didn't really enjoy the things Louis enjoyed. So maybe instead of faking it, you can go ahead and find somebody that can fit and blend with balance. A warning, beware of mirrored situations. In a mirrored situation, you have little or no control over the reflections and recollections that will be connected to you, and any situation beyond your control dangerous. Even if the person or event has positive associations, you will suffer from not being able to live up to them, since the past generally appears greater than the present. If you ever notice people associating you with some past event or person, do everything you can to separate yourself from that memory and to shatter the reflection. Law 44. Disarm and infuriate with the mirror effect.